I'd ask you to turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, to Romans chapter 3, in the course of our testimony. We want to look at this chapter as well. So, God's Word open before us. Let us just set our hearts before the Lord in a word of prayer, praying for the Lord's help. The Lord will draw near. And do make it your prayer tonight that the Lord will speak to your heart. Indeed, speak to all our hearts through His own precious and holy Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us already in this meeting tonight. We thank Thee for the singing of Thy praises, the reading of Thy Word. And Lord, as we come now to share a word of testimony, Lord, we pray for help. We pray for the wisdom of the Lord. We pray for Thy guidance upon all that we would say tonight, O God, we ask. And Father, our prayer is through everything that might be said and done, that in every part and in every detail we pray, that the Lord Jesus Christ alone will have the glory, that He alone will have the preeminence we ask. And Lord, as Christ is uplifted and set forth as the only Savior and as the only remedy for sin, we pray that this night that those in our gathering still not see it might look to Him for salvation. Remember, Lord, if there's any in our gathering tonight, maybe backslidden afar from the Lord, Lord, restore unto them tonight the joy of their salvation, O God, we pray. Bless and encourage every saint of God, Lord, in this gathering. To this end, Lord, cleanse me afresh in the Savior's precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, we ask. And be mouth, matter, and wisdom unto us, O God, this night. And bless Thy word to all who have gathered this evening. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. Now, over in the Psalm number 66, the psalmist says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." And by those words, the psalmist was informing us of his desire to give a word of testimony and to tell what the Lord meant to him and what the Lord had done for him in salvation. And as I have announced, that is the desire of my heart tonight for this gospel meeting, as we've just taken up the work of God here in Bethel and Enniskillen. It is my desire to tell you as a congregation what the Lord means to me and what the Lord has done for me in salvation and of how He has blessed and guided us to this very point in time in my life. And my prayer is that through our testimony and all that is said and done, that man would be hidden behind the cross and that the Lord Jesus Christ alone will be honored and glorified. If you're a believer in the meeting tonight, I pray that through something that is said in our testimony, that you will be encouraged and strengthened and helped on in your walk with God and then in your Christian life. But if you're here tonight and you're still not saved, I pray that even through our testimony tonight, that you might come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord for salvation. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 4, of the woman at the well who testified. My through her testimony, we read of others where she lived, coming to know and to trust the Lord for salvation. And that's our desire, our prayer, our burden for you in the gathering this evening. Be you young, be you old man, woman, boy or girl, whatever. If you're not saved, that you might come and trust the Lord as your Lord and as your Redeemer. Now, I was brought up in the town of Omagh, and not so very far from here, down in the county town of Tyrone, a few miles just outside the town here on the Dromore side of the town. I grew up in a family there, home at Rylands, near a place called Lochmuck. If you've ever seen the sign as you go down into Omagh, they say, "Well, there's muck, there's money." Well, that maybe wasn't the case where we were down there, but I grew up in a home there. My father and mother, father has passed away, mother is still with us, she's in her 89th year, and two brothers, one older, one younger, and then an older sister as well. But you know, as I look back over my life, and I thank the Lord for this, that from the earliest of my days, as far back as I can remember, I heard the gospel. I knew that I needed to be saved. I knew that I needed to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. If I was to be saved from a lost eternity in hell and to be sure of heaven and have my sins forgiven, as I look back over my life and the mercy of God, that is something that I have known as far back as I can remember from the earliest of days. In fact, one of the first verses I can remember learning in Sunday school was John chapter 3, verse 17, when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to Nicodemus and said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." I can remember being given that verse by the teacher, and the day he gave it, I was in short trousers. So that's a few years ago. But I remember that as a young child. Now, as a family, we belonged to the local, one of the local Presbyterian churches in Omagh. When we were young, our father had no car, he had just a motorbike. And we would have walked there the mile and a half or so on a Sunday morning to Sunday school. And then the morning service. But after that, our Sunday afternoons were spent attending the local Brethren Sunday School and local Gospel Hall. There was a man who came and picked us up, our family, our the children at home, to go to the Sunday School there on a Sunday afternoon from 3 to 4. And then oftentimes as well on a Sunday evening, we would have went to the Baptist Church in Omagh to the Gospel service there at 6:30. And then when after that was over, oftentimes as well, we would have went across the road to the Orange Hall to the Christian Workers Union meeting there, the Faith Mission meeting at 8 o'clock. And then maybe if not there, often down to the Free Presbyterian Church down the Derry Road, whose meeting was also at 8 o'clock. And that is how many of our Sundays were spent as a child. My father was saved at a gospel mission held by Dr. Paisley, where the work really commenced in Omagh in 1969. My mother had been saved when she was young, but had drifted from the Lord, and then in the early 1970s was restored to the Lord at a faith mission meeting. In 1973, our family joined Omagh Free Presbyterian Church. The reason primarily for leaving the Presbyterian Church at that time was because the minister, as far as they know, was unsaved, did not preach the gospel, and was extremely ecumenical, and had really no time for anyone who had an interest in the gospel. But they went and they joined Omagh Free Presbyterian Church in 1973. And it was later on, shortly after that, in that same year, that I was saved as a young child by the grace of God. That was in November of that year. The Reverend Elliot was still there as a minister in Omagh Free Presbyterian Church. And the day I was saved that morning, our brother, the Reverend Alan Edgar, had taken us to Sunday school. My father worked in Nestle's milk factory, and many a weekend he had to work there due to the milk. So our brother took us in a little minivan as children to the Sunday school. One of us was in the front, and the other three were in the back of the little minivan. And down the Derry Road that morning, that little minivan was involved in a car accident. It was really wrote off, as they might say. And we had scrapes and bruises and cuts, but thankfully, no one was seriously injured. But you know, as a result of that car accident that morning, I was troubled as a young child. For I knew that if I died in that car accident, that I would have been lost, that I would have went to hell. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed to be saved. And I knew if I had died in that accident, my life had been taken from me, that I would have been lost. And that really troubled my heart. All that Sunday morning after the accident and that Sunday afternoon. That Sunday evening we went back down to the gospel service in Omagh, and I was under conviction of sin, concern of soul, and I was determined that night at that gospel meeting to get saved and to trust the Lord to be my Savior, even though I was just a young child. And as we travelled back along the road that night, just a little bit further on, down the Derry Road of Omagh, there was another car accident that night, and one of the vehicles involved was in flames. And as we drove past that car in flames, all I could think about as I drove past it and looked at it was the flames of everlasting punishment and judgment in a lost sinner's hell, where the Bible talks about the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I went to the meeting that night. I cannot remember what the Reverend Elliot preached, but he made an appeal at the end of that meeting. If anyone would like to be saved, to raise their hand as an indication of their desire to be saved. And that night, as a young child, I slipped up my hand. That didn't save me. But it was really an indication of the desire within my heart that night to be saved. And I believe I'm right in remembering, along with five others that night, we went into the old prayer room of the old hut there in Oma, which is now really the car park at the side of the church, and knelt down. And her brother led me to Christ and to trust in Him alone for salvation. I didn't know very much about the Bible. I was just a child. But I knew that I was a sinner. I knew without salvation I was forever lost. But I knew that God loved me, that He sent His Son to die for me upon the cross. And I needed to trust Him as Savior. And I can remember that night praying the best I could and asking the Lord into my heart to be my Savior. And I can remember going home that night singing that great hymn that we sung here in our installation service. Oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. And I can remember that night just as if it was yesterday. And friends, in our meeting tonight, can I say this to everyone who is here tonight, that God's salvation is something every one of us need. There's no one here in this meeting house tonight who is exempt from the need of God's salvation. Why do I say that? Well, look at verse 23 of Romans chapter 3. Look at what it says. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And those words apply to us all. All of us have broken God's holy law. Look at the end there of verse number 19. It says, "And all the world may become guilty before God." We are all guilty of sin before Almighty God. What does that mean in our lives? It means that in and of ourselves, you and I cannot please God, or we can never please God in and of ourselves or through anything of man. Look at what verse 10 of this chapter says. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Not only can we not please God, but it also means that we are separated from God, cut off from God because of our sin. Look at verse 11 and verse 12 of the chapter. It says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." In our sin, we are cut off from God, shut out from God. It also means that we're under the condemnation of a holy God and bound for hell. Look at the words there of verse 16 and verse 17. "Destruction and misery are in their ways." That's the end of sin. "And the way of peace they have not known." God says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Without salvation, we have no peace with God. Condemned to a lost eternity. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 23, "The wages of sin is death." And people, tonight I want you to see that there's nothing that you and I can do to save ourselves and to make ourselves right with God, no matter how hard we may try. Look at verse 20 of the chapter. Look at what it says. It says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And through our deeds, through seeking to keep, as it were, the law of God the best we can, you and I can never be justified, made right in the sight of God. However, the good news of the gospel is this, that in grace, what has God done? God has provided a way of salvation from sin. How? Through faith alone, in the person and in the sacrifice of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at how Paul sets this forth in this great chapter. Look at verse 24, verse 25. Look at these tremendous words. He brings us here right to the very heart of the gospel. He says, "Being justified freely." In other words, forgiven, made right with God. How? By His grace, by God's grace. Notice that salvation is all of grace. We don't deserve it. Through the redemption, through the sacrifice, through the cross work that is in Christ Jesus, whom God have set forth. He have set Him forth to be a propitiation, in other words, to appease the wrath of God against us because of our sin. How? Look at the words. "Through faith in His blood," the blood of Christ, "to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." What a message. Friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this. It is by faith in Christ alone as Savior that you, a sinner before God, can be justified tonight before God. And know the forgiveness of all of your sins. By faith in Christ, you can know peace with God. You can know the wonderful blessing of the presence of the Lord with you in your life day by day. And the great hope, as we were singing about earlier on there, of a home in heaven, a home in glory. Look at what Paul goes on to say there in verse 26 and verse number 27. He says, to declare, I say it this time, his righteousness, the righteousness of God, that he might be just, and notice these words, and the justifier. It is God who justifies. And who does he justify? The justifier of him, or indeed of her, which believeth in Jesus, which trusteth in Christ. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Oh, if you're unsaved tonight, I pray that God will speak to your heart through these words. Dear friend, if you are to be saved, then you must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone to be your Savior. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. What are you resting upon tonight for salvation? If your faith and if your trust is not in Christ, you're resting upon a false hope that will do your heart and do your soul no good, will not save you from the wrath to come. And that is how I was saved many years ago as a young child, by putting my faith and my trust in Christ alone for salvation. We can say tonight, as we got saved and were saved during primary school days, I continued to follow on in the ways of the Lord, witnessing for the Lord the best I could and reading God's Word and seeking to live the Christian life. However, whenever I went to high school and into teenage years, there was a change. I started to backslide away from the Lord as a young believer and started to drift very, very far from the things of God. And to my own shame, sadly, I got ensnared in the ungodly, sinful pleasures of this world. I went to many places that I never should have been as a Christian. I got involved in many things that I should never have been involved in as a young Christian. Things that greatly dishonored, brought great shame to my Savior, to my God, and to my Lord. And you know the words of the hymn writer are very true. It says, sin will take you farther than you will ever want to go. And my, when you backslide and go away from the Lord, and sin gets into your life, it will take you far away from the Lord. It'll take you to places you never intended to be. It will take you into things that you never intended to be involved in. And that's how it was with me as a teenager. The Bible says that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And that was my life, filled with my ways, not God's ways. No time for God. No time for the things of God, no time for the house of God, no time for anything that really concerned God. That's how bad things had become. The Bible says, but the way of the transgressor is hard. And I can say tonight from experience that the way of the backslider, it's a hard way. It's a difficult way. My, there is no peace, there is no joy, and there is certainly no blessing and such a life. I believe the backslider is the most miserable of all people upon God's earth. Maybe I'm speaking to a backslider in this meeting tonight. Maybe there's a young person here in this gathering, maybe an older person. And if the truth be told tonight, you're wanting to throw off every restraint of God, every restraint of God's word upon your life. That's the desire of your heart tonight, or perhaps you already are on Bypass Meadow. If that is you tonight, I counsel you from this pulpit to stop and to think. Stop and consider the path that you're on. Stop and consider the awful consequences of such a life, both for yourself and others that concern you and are related to you in your life. Speaking to God's people in the book of James, James says, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death, leads to spiritual death in the life of the believer. In other words, hinders them in the things of God, deadens them to the things of God. The Bible says that he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. There are awful consequences for the life of the backslider. What was the cause of my backsliding, my drifting away from the Lord? And as I look at it and think about it, there are really two things in particular. One was a forsaking of my own quiet time, a forsaking of the place of prayer privately, and a forsaking of the reading of God's word privately in my daily life. Not only was there that forsaking of prayer and Bible reading, but there was something else very influential in my life at that particular time. And that was close company with the ungodly and with those who had no time for the things of God or the things of Christ. Child of God in the meeting house tonight, let me say this. It is vital for your own spiritual good and your own spiritual profit that you have a daily quiet time with God. What does it say in Luke 18, verse 1? Christ there is speaking, and he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The antidote to fainting in the Christian life, it is prayer, talking to God day by day in your Christian life. Again, think of the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Just as you had your tea and your dinner and breakfast this day for your physical needs, tell me, have you fed your soul today upon the Word of God? It's good to come to church and listen to God's Word, but has there been that reading of God's Word? Tomorrow, some part of the day, will you give time to the reading of God's Word when you're alone with God? And you can hear God's speaking voice. It is so vital. Also, let me say this. It is vital, child of God, that you avoid close company, intimate company with the ungodly and those who have no time for the things of God. I'm not saying we should live like monks or hermits or shut ourselves off from society. No, there's things we have to tend to in life. But when it comes to close relationships, the believer is to avoid close company with those who have no time for the Lord. Turning your Bible back, please, to the Psalm number 1. Look with me, please, at verse number 1 of the Psalm. And I want you to see what it says here about the blessed man. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And that speaks of separation from the ungodly, those who have no time for God. Believer, especially young people in the meeting tonight, be very careful of your company. Be very careful of those that you keep close association with. Don't let those who know not the Lord, who have no time for the things of God, drag you down, as it was the case with me, and drag you away from the things of God and the things of the Savior. I left school whenever I was 16. And I confess, I was glad to leave school. I never enjoyed school and really left it without any real qualifications. I was just glad to get away. And I started to work in horticulture. I went into that industry in various parts of the province, away from home and digs at 16, and not only in the province, but also over in the mainland of England as well. But you know, as I look at that and all of this, what was I trying to do as a young Christian who was backslidden? I was trying to run away from God and all of that. But you know, the Bible is right, that there is no divorce with God. For everywhere I went when I was working, God had other believers there, different people from different denominations, whatever, but there were believers seeking to live for the Lord. And wherever I went, there was always a faithful believer witnessing to me, showing to me that living for Christ and living for God and putting God first is the only thing that really matters in life. And wherever I went, there was a faithful witness, some my own age, some a lot older, that witnessed to me of the need to live for the Lord. I was living in the far country like the prodigal son, living in the husks of this ungodly world. And I tell you this, I was in want spiritually before the Lord. Things came to a head in my life in the year 1985. As you remember, that was a very momentous year here in the province, the year of the Anglo-Irish Agreement. But God really dealt with my heart a long time over that year, as I look back on it. And I was under deep conviction of sin all through that year. God was speaking to me. God was dealing with me about the need to get back with the Lord and to get right with God. And in the providence of God, I was working up in Crossgar. I was staying in Diggs with a Christian couple. And at the end of the year, they invited me out to the watch night service in Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church. I hadn't been in a watch night service for long, many a day, up until that point in time. But, you know, things had happened so much in my life that year. I had remembered it said and preached from a pulpit that sometimes if the backslider doesn't listen to God, God will take them home. God will take them out of this scene of time. And those things happened in my life at that particular time. And I came to the conclusion as that year drew to a close that if I wasn't going to listen to God and turn back to the Lord was going to take me from this scene of time and from this world. And that really troubled me. That really concerned me. The devil then began to attack. Oh, are you really saved? Were you ever saved at all? All these doubts and things began to mount up in my mind. But that night I found myself in Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church at their annual watch night service. There wasn't many in the meeting. It was a small meeting. But that night, the late Reverend Cecil Mineri, he preached from a text. I've never heard it preached on before or after. Simply four words in verse 26 of Psalm 104. And this is what it says. It says, "There go the ships." As he preached on that verse and that text, he applied it in two ways. He applied it to the unsaved in the meeting. He says, we're going out into a new year, 1986, and if you were to die this year in your sin, you'll make eternal shipwreck. You'll be lost in hell forever and ever. And he turned it around and he applied it to God's people. He says, tell me, is the Lord the captain of your life? Is he, as it were, on the throne of your heart? As you step out into a new year, if you haven't the Lord leading, guiding, and directing, you'll make shipwreck in your life as a believer in the new year. And that was an arrow to my heart. I said nothing. But I was under deep conviction in that meeting that night. And I went home to where I was staying in Diggs. But you know, years ago at school, I'd been given a little Gideon's New Testament. I always kept that with me, and from time to time I would take it out. No one was near me or whatever, and I would read bits and pieces of it. But I knew where to go and my desire to be right with God. And I went home that night to where I was staying at Diggs, and I turned up that New Testament. I turned to the book of 1 John, chapter number 1, and particularly to two verses of that chapter that night, verses 7 and verse 9. And this is what these verses say. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And I knew there was something that night I had to do. I had to confess my sins, my backslidings afresh to the Lord. And I had to ask the Lord to restore me unto himself. And I was greatly troubled that night. I said nothing to anyone in the meeting. But I got down at my bedside where I was staying, knelt down before the Lord, just myself and the Lord. And I asked the Lord to forgive me for my sins, my backslidings, my waywardness. And I asked the Lord to restore unto me the joy of salvation and to cleanse me afresh in his precious blood. You know, that night the Lord did that. He answered that prayer. I can remember that burden been lifted. I can remember coming down the stairs that morning where I was staying. There was a new joy in my heart, a new spring in my step. And that awful burden that had been weighing heavily down upon me that whole year was now gone that previous year. I thank the Lord tonight, that night, for his restoring mercy, his restoring grace in my life. Oh, if I had never been restored that night, I dread to think where I would have been following that and that ensuing year. Maybe there's a backslider here in the meeting tonight. How do you come back to the Lord as the Saxon? Confess your backslidings to the Lord. Get before the Lord. Ask the Lord to cleanse you afresh. Ask the Lord to restore unto you the joy of His salvation. And the Lord will heed your call. The Lord will restore you by His grace and by His power. And you know, from the time of the Lord's restoration in my life, by His grace and by His grace alone and none other, I have sought to go on with the Lord and to serve Him in whatever way I can. I went back over to England and to work and to study in horticulture in June 1986, in the spring of that year. I was in a room just all alone one night reading my Bible and reading in particular the words of Isaiah chapter 61 and the verse number 1. I'll never forget that night when the Lord drew very, very near. And those words really challenged my heart, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon thee, for the Lord hath anointed thee to preach." They relate in context to Christ, but they were words to my heart. God was speaking to me that night. And there was a tremendous sense of the presence of the Lord drawing near. There was just me and the Lord, no one else where we were staying. And the Lord really challenged my heart that night about seeking to live for Him and to serve Him. Later on that year, I returned back home to Omagh, where we lived. And I started attending again the services in Omagh Free Presbyterian Church. Started going to the prayer meeting. I started engaging in public prayer, and that was a battle, but the Lord helped us. And then subsequently, I joined the church there following that. And child of God, let me say to you tonight that the prayer meeting is so, so important. And I encourage you, believer, make time for the public place of prayer. There you'll be blessed. There you'll be helped. There you'll be strengthened. The Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Give time to prayer, not only to prayer, but church membership is also something very important for the life of the believer, to be joined to the work of God where the Lord has called you, and give yourself wholeheartedly to that work. You read of Paul when he was saved that he has said to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem. As I gave myself to the work there in Omagh, God then in His mercy give me opportunities to help out. Youth fellowship meeting on a Friday night. I was asked then to teach a Sunday school class and help out in the two children's meetings associated with the congregation there. And all of these things, God was doing something. He was preparing me. He was equipping me for a life of a full-time Christian service. In the years of the late 1980s, God continually burdened my heart more and more about Christian service, so much so that in 1989, I applied to the Whitfield College of the Bible. We had no exams. We had to sit those exams to get into the college. And in the will of the Lord, we commenced our studies there in September of 1991, the very same year that we were married. We were married on the 4th of July that year, Independence Day. Well, I lost my independence that day as we were married, and we commenced college that same year. But brethren and sisters in Christ, let me say something to you tonight. It is the responsibility of all of us who are saved, whether we're saved recently or saved a long time, to serve the Lord in whatever way we can and by whatever opportunity that comes our way. Think of what Paul said to the church at Corinth. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Believer tonight, whether you are young, whether you're old, do what you can for the cause of Christ. When God gives you an opportunity to do something for Him, do not, as it were, shy away from it. Do it with a willing heart. And I tell you this, God will bless you. And my God will use you and He'll help you for His honor and for His glory. God gives you a wonderful promise when you seek to do something for Him. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency may abound unto every good work. The Lord gives help when he asks you to do something. And I tell you, there's no service like the service of the Lord. There's no master like the master of the Lord. The hymn writer says, I would not have a service his only. It must be better to serve Christ and the Lord than to serve self and the world. For only what is done for Jesus is that which will last and stand the test not only of time, but of God's eternity. And people, as I look over my life tonight in giving this word of testimony, I can praise the Lord for his guidance. And I can praise the Lord for his provision. Whenever Helen and I got married, we set up home in Kilskerry. We lived there for 4 years. She was teaching in the school there, and we would travel up and down to the college, the Whitfield College. But you know, our first home there was a house that we rented of her sister, Mrs. Vance, and her late husband, who were her sister's a member of this congregation. And that house, as we went into it, there was a little text of scripture on the fire, say, just beside the fireplace. I wish we'd have kept it. But it was just three words on that text. It's from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 5, and it's all about the Lord. And this is what it says of the Lord: he faileth not. He faileth not. And that has been our testimony. The Lord has never failed us. The Lord has provided and met our every need over the years. He has not failed, nor will he ever fail. And likewise, believer, I tell you tonight, whenever you put God first, God will supply your every need. Matthew 6, verse 33, Christ is speaking to his own disciples. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord is one who never fails. Upon leaving Bible College in 1995, I took up the ministry and convoy there in Donegal until October of 2005. And then from 2005 just to October this year, 2018, we've ministered up in Market Hill in County Armagh. And all of these years we can say of the Lord that his goodness, his mercy, his compassions have been our abounding portion. We thank the Lord for my wife and family and the 7 children. We pray the Lord will bless each of the children and lead them and guide them in the ways of the Lord. We thank the Lord for all his mercies, all his goodness, all his grace. Last year I preached here at one of your Harvest Thanksgiving meetings. I come back again in June of this year to preach in the congregation here. And after that, your interim moderator, the Reverend Robison, he rang me. It was just at the end of June, I think it was. To consider the matter here of Enniskillen and the vacancy and to pray about that. And I agreed to do that. I said, yes, I'll give it time to prayer. And he rung me back, I think it was the 12th week, the beginning of what we call the 12th week, and asked what my mind was on the matter. And I said, well, really, I do not feel any leading toward Enniskillen and County Fermanagh. And he accepted that, and he says, I relate that to the session and to the office bearers of the congregation. But you know, the next morning, I think it was a Tuesday, the next morning was a Wednesday, and I prayed something very specific that morning, very definitely. Lord, if I have made a mistake on this matter, that our brother will contact me again. That was something I prayed very definitely, very specifically that morning. Unknown to me, my wife Helen, she prayed the exact same prayer that same morning. That if I've made a mistake on this, that contact would be made again. And we prayed that both. We didn't know that the other prayed it. And that afternoon, Reverend Robison rang again. And I believe that was no coincidence. He rang back again. Will you think again? Will you consider? The office bearers want you to take more time. And you know, whenever he rang and whenever his voice came on the phone, there was only one verse come into my heart, come into my mind. The words of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God was seeking to open the door and to speak to me about the matter a second time. So I agreed that I would pray about the matter. We were going off on holidays after the 12th over to England for a fortnight. And I took time daily to pray about the work here and the vacancy and the whole matter of Enniskillen. And in doing so, God then began to exercise my heart through my own private daily readings and other churches where we visited over the summer. There seemed to always be a word in season about this place here and about the vacancy in Enniskillen. So I contacted her brother again in the August time, and I said, I'm willing if the men want me to go back and preach, or if not, well, that's the end of the matter. I'll leave it with you. But he intimated later on that it was a desire for me to come back and preach, and we did that in the middle of September. And again, I was praying, Lord, if this is not of you, Lord, close the door. Shut the door. We don't want to be somewhere we're not meant to be. I kept praying that all the time. But you know, God began to deal with my heart very clearly, and that the Lord was leading me toward this place and this direction here. And I agreed to allow my name to be considered for a call. And that call, you've met on the 25th of September, and that call was issued. And when the Reverend Robinson rang that night to tell about the outcome of the meeting, that night, in my own private readings, I read from James chapter 4, verse 7. And there it says, submit yourselves to God. And God was speaking to me very clear that night that I had to submit myself to the Lord, to God's will and God's purpose for my life. The very next day, the Lord again directed my heart and mind to Genesis chapter 35, verse 3. And there you have Jacob speaking to his family, and he says, let us arise and go up to Bethel. And well, you know the name of your church here is Bethel. And God again, I believe, was confirming his will to my heart and mind about the matter. Later on that week again, there were many, many verses God was speaking. I have a whole list of them, but we haven't time to go through them. The Lord brought me to Job chapter 23, verse number 4, where Job speaks of the Lord, and he says, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And I knew that this was something God had performed and appointed for me. I'll confess tonight, and the night that you were meeting, I prayed that you would call somebody else. I prayed that you mightn't get a call at all, that there might be confusion. So I wanted to be very clear and very definite about this matter, but that wasn't the case. The Lord indeed directed this way. And the following Sunday night, with a man testifying in our own church, I was praying again, Lord, give me a word from yourself about the matter. And through his testimony and through what he said that night, he continually referred to the words of Isaiah 43, verse 1, that which had been our motto text for this year. The Lord says, fear thou not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And the Lord was emphasizing the point that he had called me here to Enniskillen, that I belong to him. Yes, we had been happy in the work in Market Hill for 13 years. We were settled there. But you know, we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. And the Lord was emphasizing the point that it was time to move. Up sticks to take up the charge here in Enniskillen and County Fermanagh. And I accepted that call at Presbytery at the beginning of October. Even all through that week, through circumstances, through his word, through prayer, God was continually day by day directing me to this place. And brethren and sisters in Christ, it's because of God's grace and God's leading and God's guiding that we're here to pastor the flock as your minister, and to labor together with you in the things of God and in the cause of Christ. But you know, there's a lesson there for every believer in the meeting tonight, believer in the Lord. In all the decisions of life, I would encourage you to seek the Lord's guidance, seek his direction. We looked at that great verse in the youth the other night, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's no direction like the direction of the Lord. The Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. Believer, God's way for your life, it's the best way. It's a blessed way. It's a way of pleasantness, the Bible says. It's the way of peace. And that's our desire as we labor here with you in the gospel and the cause of Christ and the things of God, that together we might go forward as a congregation in the ways of the Lord, in those good ways of the Lord, in those blessed ways of the Lord.
The Bible says in Psalm 84, verse 11, the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. But if you're not saved tonight, I would urge you to come to Christ. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Come to him tonight as a repentant sinner. Put your faith and trust in him. Know the joy of sins forgiven. Know what it is to be saved, to be ready for heaven. May God bless his word tonight to all our hearts. I just want to sing in closing a few verses of the hymn number 273. This was the hymn I sang, or the song in Omagh, the night I was saved. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. We're just going to sing the first three verses. If you're not saved tonight, I want you to think of the words of this hymn and the course and come to the Lord. Come to him. Lift up your heart in prayer to the Lord.